Welcome back to Geek Speak Podcast. This is episode 2, so let's get the ball rolling. So we have a new member today, Harley Wang.
Hey, what's up?
And John Giorgio's back again.
Hey.
Tonight, we are missing Alex and James for personal reasons, so we'll keep on moving, I guess. So the first thing we have tonight is Apple's Mac Mini. So it's like a small version of their computers, and they didn't really announce it at E3 too much. We kind of missed it. It has a 2.4 gigahertz processor, which is 13.5% faster than their older 2.2 gigahertz models. And it has, surprisingly, it has a HDMI output for your TV. And it uses a FireWire 800 connections for transferring files as well. And what are you guys' opinion on the Mac Mini and Apple releasing it really quietly this year?
No,
you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, when I first actually saw how this thing looked, I first thought it was just one of those external hard drives. But then when I was more into it, it wasn't. So I don't exactly see how this thing is going to work, but it seems like a small portable computer to me, so...
It's quite convenient.
I don't know why it would be so... Yeah, I know, it seems quite portable, quite convenient. Barely looks like the size of a DS, well, maybe even bigger, but who knows.
It's probably a little bigger than the DS. It's quite compact from what I've seen. It's definitely one of those mini computers you want to put on your desktop if you don't have too much real estate on your desk to put stuff.
Yeah, totally. I agree. It's gonna be it's gonna be like one of those netbook kind of or one of those PCs that use those netbook processors. So I don't really think it's gonna be all that powerful. And but for hardware purposes, it's not really that important for Apple to come out with something that's really mind blowing. Because what's the price point? Do you guys have?
I don't have a price point right now, but I think it's probably within like $1,000-$1,500 price range is what I'm guessing right now.
Yeah. Well, regardless of the specs or the hardware, I think Apple's gonna sell whatever it is they're going to sell because of looks and because of, their operating system. It's not really, I don't think like the 13% faster processor or FireWire or even HDMI is going to really help. It's just, I think the brand will sell itself.
Yeah, because Apple is known for their style and how their designs are really sleek and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, look at the iPad. I mean, everybody was criticizing that, and when it came out, everybody bought it pretty much, right? I mean, it's selling like crazy.
Hotcakes. It's pretty much sold out everywhere that's been released.
Yeah, if you ask me, I think it's just because of its size. It's pretty much just going to be convenient for everybody, which is probably going to be its biggest selling point. Look at the size of the thing. You can pretty much take it where you want and just hook it up to any old monitor or whatever you need.
Yeah. And I think that pretty much concludes what we have to say on the Mac Mini. The next big thing we have is OnLive Gaming, and it's basically cloud-based gaming. And they plan to release it by the end of the year, and it's considered like a micro-console type of system. Any opinions on this type of thing?
You're lagging, man.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about this because I don't even know the concept of how this is going to work. Is this like a computer online network or
basically like another? On live gaming is basically where you pay a fee and then you get access to a whole bunch of games, but you don't own those games. It's just you get access to play them.
You're basically playing off a server.
It's like paying a monthly membership to rent unlimited number of games.
It's kind of like Netflix for gaming.
Yeah, that's yeah. I think the price right now is $14.95 or something like that. I'm not sure if it's is it available in Canada?
It probably will be in due time. And they're planning to release it by the Christmas season to ramp up sales and everything for that as well.
Yeah, so is it going to be like sort of like Steam where you Steam you buy the games, but
yeah.
Is it going to be sort of like that where you download some of it, or is the content fully streamed over?
It's fully streamed over from like a cloud server. It's like each computer is a drop of water in the cloud, and you draw from that cloud of
computers. But wouldn't you need like a crazy fast internet service to stream like, I don't know, more modern games? I mean, that's, you'd have to, if you can't download it, you're streaming, then you'd need like really, really fast internet.
That's probably the main problem with that idea right now. Not everyone has a high speed or fiber optic connection.
Well, especially here in Canada, we just got fiber optics here like just a couple months ago, right? And not everyone has it yet. So, I mean, it's not, I don't see how, you know, I mean, there's going to be lag and all sorts of issues.
Yeah, so basically I think most people will stick with the classic consoles like Xbox, PS, and whatever Nintendo comes out for the next generation.
Well, pretty much. And also, I mean, Steam, I mean, that I think Steam is a really, really good platform, and I think you know, I'm really hesitant to jump over to something like OnLive. Yeah, I don't. I just don't know. If you're streaming games, it just seems like you need a really crazy fast internet, or I don't know. I mean, well, it doesn't make sense why you couldn't download the game and then play it. I mean, I don't know why everything has to be streamed over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the general idea, that OnLive isn't the greatest idea right now, since not everyone has really mad speed internet at the moment.
Especially me, so it probably won't work for me either. My internet isn't the best at the moment either.
Yeah.
Exactly, it kills him. As Harvey said, it's just easier if you just downloaded it and deal with it from there. Instead of having it streamed over.
Yeah, I think our general opinion on it is that we need a couple more years for internet to become a little bit better before we get on live. So our next discussion topic is Kinect for the Xbox 360. We've heard reports that it's optimized for playing while standing up. So that might be an issue if you're sitting down for a lot of these activities that they're planning for Kinect.
But that's the thing. I don't know if you hardly have seen what Kinect can do at E3, but anyways,
yeah, I've seen the general idea from last year's E3 and this year's E3.
I think everyone here has seen the videos and. I don't know. I don't really. What does it mean when they say optimized? Does it mean it doesn't work if you're sitting down, or?
That's the iffy part right now. We haven't really seen
it
active in the households yet, so we can't really tell if it only works when standing up, or it's really buggy when you're sitting down and trying to play something.
So if you ask me, it seems like it's more like more impactful, more fun. I don't see the system really working by sitting down, because, I don't know, have you seen some of the games, like the Safari game? I don't see that game working sitting down, because you would need to jump. Games like maybe Joyride Drift, which is a car racing game, you may not need to stand, but it all really depends on the game, like as if you were playing Wii.
Yeah, but with the Wii, you can always sit down. With what Kinect brings, like, pretty much everything you want to do, you have to be standing up to really optimize what the Kinect is built for.
Which I really don't see how that's an issue. I understand gamers maybe tend to be a little bit more lazy and prefer to sit down, but is standing up really that much of an issue if that's going to be Kinect's major drawback?
Or maybe with, like, lighting, because if you played the DSi game WarioWare Snapped, it needs a really good gradient to really work well, or the camera system will really trip out and say that the lighting in your room isn't good enough and tells you to move into a brighter room or something like that.
Yeah, that's more or less the sensitivity of the system, where if it would be able to detect more than one person from a different person in a different room.
I think right now it's limited at detecting two people, right? So it can't go above two players. Is that right?
I see most of them are...
I think I read that somewhere. I forgot where it was, but I think the maximum is two.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not. It doesn't really seem like more of a party system. Oh, well, it's not a system. It's smaller than that. But yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It's only two people at most.
And while we're on this Kinect train idea, we're going to move on to Xbox 360 Slim. Well, the red ring of death has now become the red dot of death. It does not signal death, but impending death, and it shuts itself down to protect itself from being burnt out.
Do you mind if I take the lead on this?
Go ahead.
Well, personally, what I think is, even though they finally did something, I mean, I think it's a little bit late. But then again, you ask me, even though the red ring of death may be Microsoft's biggest flaw, it's merely a heating issue. I mean, if you have a highly ventilated room, you'll probably go years without dealing with the red ring of death. But the thing is, people just overplay their system and don't pay attention. With the at least with the warning label, you've seen the warning symbol when it gives you a warning label and it shuts off. It may not be an efficient solution, but at least it's somewhat of a solution. Being a tad bit late on it, though.
It's better late than never for some things.
So is this a confirmed problem? Or is it just speculation that
it is a
like...
confirmed problem with the new Xbox 360, the 360 Slim does, it does overheat. But it shuts itself down before it gets to the point where it totally burns itself out.
But I mean, I don't really care, because that still means that I can't play the game, right? I mean, it'll just shut down everyone. And why does it overheat? I don't understand. It's a new design. It's supposed to have, you know, better everything. I don't get why it still has heat issues. That's just, I mean, at this stage, after the red ring of death, I think the most important part to focus on for a new design would be heat. And if they still can't figure that out, I really don't know what to say. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's on Gizmodo, right? That's the article.
Yeah. Yeah, the article is linked from, I think, Neil Gaff, reader, found that out, that it does still overheat.
Yeah, does it happen a lot, or is it just like...
It depends. If you look, it depends on the circumstances. I mean, it's an overheating issue.
Because the new models don't roll out until later in the summer, I think. So we really haven't had too many reports on the new Slims overheating yet. But I'm guessing we're going to hear about this a lot more over the course of the summer and probably later in the year as well.
I mean, personally, I did have a 360 that died to the red ring. My second one, I've owned it for like maybe 2-3 years, and I haven't suffered the red ring yet. I don't know. It all depends on certain situations. Mostly, I think it's just ventilation. I mean, I think the thing needs a better fan system. The thing overheats too easily. I mean, if you're playing, most gamers play like 7 to 8 hours straight. If you do that on a 360, in a small room with no windows, it's bound to overheat. No doubt about it.
I'm thinking that with Microsoft, they have to redesign their new system, like whatever they have for the Xbox for the next generation. it has to be able to ventilate itself a lot better.
Yeah. But well, now it shouldn't really depend on the person to have good ventilation in their own room. Like the system should have a better fan, but still, the red ring could be prevented to some degree. But Microsoft really needs to take more of an initiative than just a warning label that shuts itself off to save the system.
Yeah.
It's a good system. It's just that it has a good system, good online play. It's just that if it didn't have the red ring of death, it would be miles above Sony, PS3, and sales. Just my personal thought on it.
I think that's pretty much, yeah, I think that's pretty much the idea we have for the new 360 actually, Slim.
But if you ask me about the actual look of it, I've never actually seen a Slim model do well. There's always been problems with the Slim models. I mean, look at the Slim. It also had ventilation issues and disc reader errors. And I don't see why they were black of all colors. I mean, it came out in black later on, but it was originally white, which is one thing that confused me. Why would it look black if the original was white?
Yeah. I think we pretty much covered what we could for the Xbox 360 Slim. We're going to move on to the Nintendo 3DS. Nintendo of Europe site accidentally posted a March 25th, 2011 release date for Paper Mario 3DS. So a lot of gamers are speculating for the actual release date for Europe. But a little more news on that as well. The 3DS design is not fully finalized. It's still being refined, says Nintendo of America President Reggie Fils-Aimé. And the GPU being used is a four-year-old chip from Digital Media Professionals called the Pika 200, but still provides high-quality graphics and with low power consumption as well. And Nintendo will be selling the 3DS at a profit, even on launch day.
Well, I mean, we still don't know the price, so I mean, they could charge as much as they want, so up to the point where they make a profit. So it's, I mean, yeah. Profit. I mean, Nintendo's known to make profits from whatever hardware they're selling. That's you know, a big part of their revenue. So, I mean, I don't think that's a surprise. But in terms of the release date, I don't really care when it is personally. I'm going to buy it. I mean, regardless of whether or not they say 3D is going to be gimmicky or not, or totally awesome, you know, I'm probably going to get it on release day, almost certain. Whenever it releases, I don't really care.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they want it could actually work well. It wasn't like too bad of a product. But as Mark is saying, the price is an issue. But personally, I don't think this thing will go more than 250, maybe 300.
My speculation on price is probably about 225 to 250. But I don't think Nintendo will push over 250 on a handheld price. Or at least not for the next generation.
Yeah, because it's 3DS is not next gen, right? It's still current.
It would be considered next generation handheld, because DS and PSP were released like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, so is it going to be another 4 or 5 years before the next handheld release?
No, for the next full handheld, like from what you saw from DS heavy to the 3DS, it's going to be.
Okay.
It's been at least like 5 years since it came out.
Okay, all right. So I guess I guess that's it then. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, with the GPU, I don't know if you guys have seen the online video demonstrating its capabilities, but the graphics look really good, like much better than what a DS
or a Wii has right now as well.
Sorry?
It's the quality of graphics either matches the Wii or even exceeds it at times.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to look better because it's on a smaller screen, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's like if you put a Wii and then you shrink down the screen to 3.5 inches, I mean, it's going to look spectacular, right? I mean, it's going to look great.
Resolution. On the 3D, I mean, on the DS Lite isn't too bad. This has to be a big upgrade on it.
Yeah, even between the DS Lite and the DSi, the screen size is a little bigger. And still looks pretty crisp.
But yeah, I think the main thing is not really. I think it's just going to be, the games that come with it and how well the 3D actually works. Because I have a feeling that most of us are going to buy the DS or the 3DS and end up playing like our traditional, you know, Mario Kart and all that in 2D on the DS, just like using it as a normal DS. I have a feeling that the 3D is just not going to be as well integrated as it should be. And it might not work. I mean, you know, some people might not like it, or it might just not work for some games. So, you know, if it comes down to that, then, you know, it's kind of sad, but it does make the 3D element look kind of gimmicky.
That's why they have the slider at the side, so you can tone it down or even turn it off if you don't like the 3D effect.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is just that, you know, if it comes down to basically everyone turning the slider down to no 3D back to 2D, I mean, you know, a lot of people aren't going to buy the 3DS. It's significantly more expensive. And, you know, if you're not really going to use the 3D, then, you know, that's there's no point in buying it. So it really comes down to how well their games use 3D and how they present 3D. You know, if it's really gimmicky, like some of the people that tried it out, they were reporting on their blogs and their websites saying that it was just not as good as like 3D with glasses. It just wasn't that. It wasn't the same. So you know, I'm hesitant to see what they have to offer. I mean, what really is behind the 3D thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's still unique that you do not need glasses to use a 3D effect. But they said it was optimized at around 14 inches in front of your face. So we'll have to see what happens when it comes out to see how good it really is.
That's what makes me hesitant to even consider buying it, because I still don't even see how the 3D is going to work without the glasses. It's a bit sketchy about the concept until I actually see the thing work. I'm too iffy about buying one.
No, it's something about the camera tracking your retinas. So, like, it, you know, it moves as your eye moves to simulate 3D.
And there's a parallax on it as well. There's 800 pixels across, and they're split at, like, 400 for each eye.
Yeah. So it's like, well, actually, I don't know how that's going to work if multiple people are looking at the screen. It's only going to be 3D for the person that's
right in
staring.
Front of the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Right in front of it, right? So.
Yeah, on that note, the PSP 2 is not going 3D like what Nintendo has in store for us.
PSP 2? Can they really come up with a better name?
Well, it's a prototype name. That's what I'm guessing right now, at least.
Wait, so where's the... what site was it on?
I think it was probably, I can't remember which site it was, probably find it on like Gizmodo or something.
I'm going to try to look for that.
Or TechCrunch. Either one of those sites should have that.
No, but yeah, anyways, I think not going 3D is a good move because, you know, you don't want to compete all the time in everything. So, I mean, what they're banking on is essentially that the 3DS and the whole handheld with 3D will fail, and that everybody's going to go back to 2D gaming, and that the PSP 2 is going to be super awesome and everyone's going to pick it up over the DS. You know, I think that's what they're trying to do. By going 3D, they can only be as good as whatever Nintendo's going to make. So I think it's a good move that they're going with 2D. I'm still like I gotta see the 3D first before I pass judgment on it. But you know, just reading other people's reviews, it's been said that, you know, handheld 3D or the 3DS is not as good as it, or is not as good as people think it to be. So
it's still a really neat effect for even for a handheld without glasses.
And the whole point about probably the major thing of cost effective, despite it might be a little bit more expensive than usual, DS is going to be cheaper than going.
How much is the PSP 2? Do you guys know?
They haven't released any specs or anything at all, so we don't know what the price is. But it's probably going to be pretty close to what the 3DS is going to be, too.
Yeah, the one. Looking at features about it, but it doesn't say much about a price.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just I'm surfing around, and the Apple website has the Mac Mini at $699. So
it's pretty nice,
you know,
price, like $700.
Yeah. So
bucks.
You know, that's what I thought it, like, I thought it would be probably around that price because it's not really
full-fledged computer.
Yeah, it's going to be like one of those. Have you guys seen those like you know, really the PCs that use netbook processors, like, without, they don't have a CD drive, they don't have like a lot of RAM, no graphics capable. Yeah, they're selling
for like
$300.
They're the little small netbooks that are like $300.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, they're like netbooks now are like $250-$300.
Yeah, I think that's what Apple's trying to go for here, except, you know, it's obviously a little bit better and a whole lot better looking. I mean, you know, but you know, the price is definitely pretty attractive for something like that. Just depends on how you plan to use it. I don't know what its capabilities are. It doesn't look like it can do a lot though.
And it's let's see what the processor is. It's a 2.4 gigahertz computer, so it's like whatever your computer could do like 2 or 3 years ago. It's like, this is what it's capable of.
Yeah, and it's not like it's supposed to be, man, like a powerful computer. It seems like a simple netbook on. Oh, are they called netbooks?
Yeah, it's a really tiny laptops.
Yeah, I guess that's what they call it. Ones that are common, like about 300 or so, whatever.
Yeah, that's moving on from the Mac Mini. I think we have Kid Icarus Uprising. We're going to show you a trailer for it.
Oh, I actually haven't seen the trailer yet. But it seems like that's quite the concept.
So what are you guys' opinions on the new Kid Icarus that's coming out for the 3DS after over 20-year hiatus from Pit?
John, do you want to go ahead?
I personally just saw this one as a shock. I don't know. That's potential. I quite don't know too much about the game, so I can't really say that too much. It's probably going to be Bio. People probably would buy it because of the whole, it's been a while since they made a Kid Icarus game.
Yeah, I actually didn't know anything about it until Brawl, when Brawl came out, and you know, Pit got, you know, really popular, and everybody started learning about the story. And I think it's, you know, it's good that they're making a game. Definitely a lot of people are gonna follow up on it, having played you know, Super Smash Bros. Brawl. So I mean, it's only natural for Nintendo to come up with something like this, I think.
Yeah, same with me. I didn't know about Kid Icarus until about playing Brawl, and then I went to the virtual console and downloaded it. It's a pretty classic 8-bit game you can get from the virtual console on the Wii, and it's worth checking out if you're a fan of old-school games like Super Mario Bros. Or and stuff like that. And it looks pretty crisp, like a early Wii game.
Yeah, I didn't see this trailer before. I would have assumed it was a Wii game. Just based on how the trailer looks.
It still looks pretty good for it.
Be like one of...
Yeah, it's slated for a launch title, so look, it should be a pretty good game still.
It probably will be one of those hit or miss games, I don't know. Probably depends on people's real interest in hit. I mean, before Brawl, nobody really knew who Kid Icarus / Hit was, so. It could be a huge success or it could be a total failure. Only time will really tell.
On that note, there's another major franchise that I think many people want them to remake as well, is Ice Climbers.
Well, yeah, it's been a while with those. I think the last Ice Climber game was probably around the last Kid Icarus game too.
Yeah, it was an NES game back like 20 years ago or something, around that time zone.
Yeah, again, you know, it's been resurrected by Smash Brothers Brawl, so I mean...
Even back in Melee, there were...
Melee, yeah.
But
Smash Brothers brought a lot of these characters back, into the spotlight. But I mean, whether or not people actually, you know, enjoy playing these games, I don't know. But we'll be at least curious to pick it up and see what it's about, right? So I mean, they're familiar with the characters now. It's not like, you know, 20 years is a lot of time. It's like almost a generation. I mean, in gaming, it's like several generations. So I mean, you know, it's hard to say how it's gonna do.
Yo, this reminds me of when Marth and Warlord put into Melee. Nobody knew what Fire Emblem was, and after Melee, Fire Emblem got its big success. Games like Fire Emblem 7, 9, and 8 were huge hits. So maybe what Melee did for the Fire Emblem series.
On that note, I think they're definitely bringing more attention to their other franchises that didn't make it over, because they probably didn't have the fan base to really start up games like Fire Emblem before Melee came out with Roy and Marth and their characters.
Yeah. Even though 7 was brought up before Melee, there was still very little knowledge of it. I mean, I randomly came across Fire Emblem 7. I didn't even know what it was until I got playing it. I actually liked it. It wasn't Melee that did it for me, but I mean, randomly came across the game, played it one now. But for other people, Melee probably brought Fire Emblem to a better mission.
Yeah, that's why they revived the old NES versions of Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, and now Fire Emblem Mystery of the Emblem are now being brought over to North America, because there were originally Japanese games that never got translated and ported to North America or any other regions.
Oh, there are fan translations.
Yeah, official ports, at least.
There's no official English version.
Yeah, that's why games like Mother 3 are being fan translated, instead of, even though Nintendo has all the resources to port it over into other markets like Europe or North America.
But if you ask me about the whole Fire Emblem series, I think 6 would probably be a bigger success than 1 or 3 being remade, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, we're totally off topic. But what are you gonna do? We're talking about old series that are being remade.
Well, yeah. And I think that pretty much concludes what we have for this podcast. So, do you guys have any major topics you want to talk about, or do you want to call it a wrap for tonight?
I think that's it. Really tired right now.
Yeah, so this is pretty much the end of episode 2. Hope to see you guys here again. Mm-hmm.